This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry. With Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
Top products, technologies, and vendors in HPC.
The 2011 HPC Wire Readers and Editors Choice Awards.
Hello, everyone, and good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for November 23rd, 2011. Available every Friday on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I'm joined by Addison Snell of Intersect 360 Research. Hey, good morning, Addison.
Good morning, Michael. Welcome to a special Wednesday holiday edition of HPC Wire Soundbite. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving. Yeah, we're doing a little bit early to get ahead of Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving rush.
Happy Thanksgiving to all our American listeners out there.
Definitely. And, we're going to sort of recap some of the things, some of the readers and editors' choice that we announced, HPC Wire announced last week at the Supercomputing Conference. We're not going to go through all of them. We have about 20 or 30 that we've given awards to, but we're going to do some of the products, technologies, and vendors that we thought were worth watching. Not necessarily just because they're doing great, but because they're interesting companies and we want to see where they're going.
Well, a lot of them are doing great. I'll tell you, these choice awards that HPC Wire has been doing is one of my favorite things to follow at Supercomputing. So it's fun. You guys, I see you running around on Monday, shaking hands, taking pictures, putting the signs in everyone's booths. And the whole rest of the show, you see the winners really proudly displaying these placards for both Reader's Choice and Editor's Choice in all these categories. And as you said, there's a lot of winners in a lot of different categories. We won't be able to do them all in a podcast, but really, I encourage everyone to go read all the awards on HPC Wire if you haven't seen them already.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun for us to go back through the year and get the readers involved too to pick some of the big standouts of the year, and we just love doing it. And of course, the people that get the awards, they just love them too. So.
Why don't we start with the top five new products or technologies to watch? This is kind of an area where it's fun to see what the readers and what you as the editor think, Michael, in terms of what areas we need to be checking out for the year to come. And the readers put forward these five in no particular order. They're looking at the Intel Sandy Bridge architecture, IBM BlueJean Q, NVIDIA Tesla, the Cray XK6 and the AMD 6200 CPUs, or the Interlagos CPUs, which launched at Supercomputing. What did you pick for your top five new products or technologies?
So on the editor's side, we picked solid-state storage, the Intel many-integrated core MIC technology that we've heard so much about lately. We also picked the AMD Interlagos 6200s, and also another NVIDIA, the NVIDIA Kepler, which is coming out in 2012, if all things go as planned. And then again, the IBM BlueJean Q, which was just officially announced at Supercomputing. So there was some overlap, but all sort of CPU and GPU-centric stuff going on there.
Right. Well, you know what I noticed in this list right away, Michael, was going back to our mid-show podcast where we were talking about what I still see as the biggest trend that came out of the show, which was how many different processor architectures were an active part of this discussion. We eventually counted 10 different processor architectures that people were talking about for current or future products for HPC, and these lists really reflect that.
Right, they do, and you know, we didn't even get all of them on there. At the show, we talked about, you know, there was the Fujitsu Spark processor and the others, the one we just talked about from
FPGAs and TI and, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah, the one from China, they just the domestic CPU they just put into their new supercomputer. So yeah, there's a lot of activity at the processor level.
And right, then, and one of the two things that are the same on both lists is the Interlagos chips.
Right, people have been looking forward to that for a while, and AMD is, you know, they've redesigned architecture. It's the biggest redesign on their Opteron, I think, since basically they went to dual core. And so there's going to be a big competition between Interlagos and the Sandy Bridge as they go head-to-head next year, and we're going to see how that works out.
And the Interlagos, in fact, already had one of the big wins of the show, which was the Blue Waters follow-on, the Cray deal. That's primarily Interlagos providing the majority of that horsepower.
Exactly right. And they're going to get into a lot of Cray machines that are going to be all the XK6s that are going to go in are Interlagos, and a lot of the other Cray machines as well. So they're going to be prominent for sure just because of that. But I think we're going to see them work their way into some of the other deals. We've already seen that in some of the DOE deals and some of the others that we're going to see later in the year. But I think Sandy Bridge.
Let me tell you why this is one of my favorite technologies in terms of technology to watch. It's not only the one that people have been looking forward to that has a lot of performance, but it's critical for AMD in terms of trying to reverse the loss of share that they've had within HPC. This has been a long-awaited chip. They're trying to regain some momentum in HPC. I think this, combined with Fusion, starts defining the future of this company. So it's important to watch for multiple reasons.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I don't think personally that Interlagos will reverse that trend. That's a big trend, and I think they would have had to come up with something that was so different and have a big performance difference between that and the Intel chip. And that's clearly not going to occur here. I think what you just mentioned, their Fusion chips, I think is their long-term strategy to outflank Intel.
Well, so let's talk about Intel for a second. We've got Sandy Bridge on the readers list and Many Integrated Core or Knight's Corner on your list.
Right. And I think of those two, to me, the Many Integrated Core is the really interesting one because that is purpose-built for supercomputing. And obviously, it's not out yet. They're going to be producing it commercially for production later in – probably early in 2013, perhaps late in 2012. But it's already getting a lot of traction. It's getting some wins. We saw the one attack. There's some experimental systems going in. And, of course, at SC, we just saw the first early silicon of the Knight's Corner, the commercial chip. So it's moving along, and it's getting a lot of attention. And Sandy Bridge, of course, is their Xeon mainstay, and it seems to have very good performance on its own. But those two together are going to be kind of a formidable pair of chips to go up against for NVIDIA and AMD.
Yeah, well, you know, and I'm not going to say I'm going to side with the reader or the editor on this. They're both important platforms. Sandy Bridge is going to be the one that's the volume chip, of course. Now,
sure.
But in terms of one to watch, I guess if I'd had to pick one, I would have said that the Knight's Corner, the Many Integrated Core. I really want to see how this is going to compete against the NVIDIA products, especially the Tesla and its follow-ons, which are also part of this list. Our data is really showing that we're entering a heterogeneous future here in terms of the architecture. NVIDIA's got a big head start, but Intel's got a really compelling product with Knight's Corner that it's hard to bet against Intel in the long run with something like that. It's, you know, x86 base. It's using Intel tools. That's going to be a really critical microarchitecture battle that's going to really start heating up in the second half of next year.
Right, and like on our list, the editor's side, we had the Kepler GPU, which is supposed to be released sometime, I would guess, around the middle of the year, but not quite sure. And that'll probably be in production before we see the first mic. But those two are going to go head-to-head, certainly in 2013. And, yeah, like you said, it'll be a nice matchup and see where people sort of fall, because I think each of those architectures has its adherence now, and it's going to be a battle.
Yeah, let's quickly talk about IBM BlueJean Q, which was on both lists. This was the top five slots on the Green 500.
Right, very interesting architecture. It basically shows you can do very energy-efficient computing without the use of these, you know, purpose-built accelerators. So they officially launch IBM BlueJean, and we're going to see those systems roll out next year, at least at some of the big labs like Argonne and Lawrence Livermore.
Right, and it's not only that this isn't accelerators, nor is it Sandy Bridge, nor is it Interlagos. This is another processor architecture with power.
Right, this is their purpose-built, based on their power architecture. It's more like an embedded processor in that sense. It's a very low-power or relatively low-power chip that like the other BlueJean technologies, and they've just kicked it up a notch and very energy-efficient and interesting architecture. And they're probably going to sell a bunch of them, but
Sure. You know. Well, I think we've already kind of defined who the Blue Jean market is. It's well beyond who they originally thought. And this was kind of a one-off project that took off in the original Blue Jeans and got popular in certain segments. Or people who like this sort of thing will find this to be the sort of thing that they like.
Right, exactly.
There's one more that we haven't talked about on the readers list is the Cray XK6.
Right, and that's basically sort of a combination of the others. It's a system based on the Interlagos chip and the Kepler GPU coming out next year. Well, actually, even the Fermi chips this year. But it's basically the GPU-CPU architecture that Cray came up with to solve the heterogeneous demand problem. And that's, you know, we're going to see systems like that coming out. That's going to be the Titan system and, you know, the blue water system as well. And there's probably some others on the pipeline too. So definitely a lot to watch.
Right. And we were saying at the end of supercomputing that Cray really had a great show on our winners and losers episode. And, you know, when you look at the XK6, the Titan, the Blue Waters, this Reader's Choice Award and their deal with Xyratex, Cray really had a fantastic, conference.
They sure did. Well, we should probably move on to the vendors to watch, which sort of reflects some of the same companies here, but
right.
not a big surprise.
Who were your top five vendors to watch, Michael?
So on the editor side, we had Intel and NVIDIA, and then we had Fujitsu, Xyratex, the storage company, and then Apro.
And then on the reader side, the first two were the same. These aren't in any order, but two of them were the same, Intel and NVIDIA, and we've been talking about that chip war that's pending. The other three were different. They had IBM, Cray, and Mellanox. Why don't we start with the two that were in common, Intel and NVIDIA? We've already been talking about why there's a reason to watch these two vendors.
Right, and I think it's obvious now. These are the two chip vendors that seem very they seem very well focused on the HPC market. I mean, Intel, especially over the last 2 years, has seemed to focus more and more on this. And I think the Intel mic effort has done that. But they're also just in general focused on it. At the conference, they announced some of their own boards and chassis that were directed at this market as well. So they're actually expanding their footprint and sort of product set into this market. And of course, NVIDIA has been all about HPC ever since it introduced its first Tesla,
right,
5 years ago.
Well, and I'll bring up one more reason why this is an interesting battle to watch. And as much as we look at this as a battle of chip architectures, from my viewpoint, I think a lot of this war is going to be decided in a lot of ways by software. People have to program for these chips, and NVIDIA has gone all in on CUDA and has gotten a lot of development momentum around CUDA. But on the other hand, the Knight's Corner products going forward are all x86 tools. So you've got the bundled in Intel tools versus CUDA, I think is just a fascinating software component to this.
Yeah, and that's their big story. It's basically you can use the same set of tools you use for Xeon to produce the codes for Mike, and that's a big lever that they can use. Now, NVIDIA, for its part, it's relied on CUDA and has done quite a lot to popularize that programming, that model and environment. But also recently, or just at SC or just before, announced they're supporting an open ACC directives model that PGI,
yes,
and Cray and others are building up. And that is, if it's widely adopted, that will be truly platform independent. And even though they've picked up OpenCL, they've supported that. This will sort of be the first sort of high-level language environment that they've supported that is platform independent. So that's an interesting development there too.
Yeah. So then beyond Intel and NVIDIA, on the reader side, we've got IBM. We've obviously been talking about the Blue Jean component to that, but IBM is one of these great companies that has so many different technologies in so many markets. You're always going to see them as a leader in HPC and elsewhere. They're the number one server vendor in HPC. They've got a great parallel file system with GPFS. It's got a lot of traction. I kind of dig all the small Smarter Planet stuff. You and I have always been big fans of Watson. I went up and lost to Watson in Jeopardy on, during supercomputing. It was one of the highlights of the show for me.
You're in good company.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was ahead after one category. I know more than Watson does about international foods, presumably because I eat more than Watson does. But IBM's always going to be a favorite company of mine. I like seeing them on the list.
Yeah, so do I. I think that was a good choice by the readers. And like you said, you know, we forget that they just don't do supercomputing. They sell into the vast middle of the market, and they're the number one server vendor there. So
right. Well, it's not every computer company can claim to be 100 years old.
Yeah, and that as well.
And then with Cray, we talked already about what a great show they had. We probably don't need to recap that. But rounding out the readers list is Mellanox. Very interesting choice, especially with the launch of FDR at this show. And they might also win the award for best T-shirt of the show with FDR, The New Deal.
Oh, I missed that. That's clever. Yeah, FDR had a sort of a coming out there at SC11, and that's looking to get more traction, probably a lot more in 2012. It just got introduced, and people just started talking about it. So we'll see how that progresses. But, yeah, Mellanox have been working hard at that. They're the only FDR vendor right now. Presumably QLogic will catch up at some point and introduce something. I'm assuming – you know, early first half of next year, but that remains to be seen.
All right, let's go to the other Editor's Choice Awards. Fujitsu, I think, is a fantastic choice, especially since it's an award for the whole year. I think the K computers is got to go down as one of the great achievements of the year.
Right, the K computer is, and we'll see in a moment that I thought it was the great achievement of the year. But Fujitsu, just as a company, has been much more active. I think, you know, recently or a few months ago, we saw them getting into the UK market in a big way, and then we saw them commercialize that K computer technology and get their first win at the University of Tokyo. So they're looking to expand beyond Japan, though, and start to look at the European markets and maybe some other smaller markets, at least outside the U.S. and actually get a international footprint in HPC. So, yeah, they're a very interesting company right now. And it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next year or two.
Then you've got APRO on your list. They've had a couple of supercomputing wins.
Yeah, they've had a lot of wins, actually, with the DOE labs over the last 6 months. And it seems like every time I turn around, there's another APRO system going into some lab somewhere. I don't know how many petaflops they've got now, but it's several just I think over the last 6 months.
And so an interesting second tier vendor. And then I love the pick of Xyratex, just especially in terms of getting a storage company into the mix. I was reflecting on these lists and thinking about what else I might have put on them. If I had a technology to watch that maybe should have been on the list that wasn't, it could have been Lustre.
Yep.
And Xyratex is a big part of that story.
Yeah, Xyratex is a lot of good Lustre companies right now. We've talked about WAM Cloud.
Right. WAM Cloud's in a great position. All the other storage vendors post-consolidation are getting their Lustre stories going. But Xyratex has Peter Brom, Peter Bojanic, a great new deal with Cray. Interesting vendor to watch.
Yeah, they're sort of new to the HPC space in that sense. But right, like you said, they've got the Lustre brain trust there. And they just had the deal with Cray helping them with their storage solutions. So I'm expecting sort of big things out of Xyratex the next year.
And while I'm nominating people, if I had companies to watch, I might have thrown a middleware in there, although I would have had to think for a while for whether it would be Bright or Adaptive. But after IBM's acquisition of Platform, I think that middleware space is going to be worth watching over the next year.
Yeah, there was that big consolidation by IBM. So yeah, maybe it's an opportunity for one of the smaller companies like Bright or Adaptive, two very interesting companies. That would be a good pick.
Well, we're never going to get through all the awards, like you said, Michael, but let's do maybe one more. And I can't help looking at the picks for a top supercomputing achievement for the year. I think that's just worth talking about. And we already just hinted at your editor's choice for that.
Right. For my choice is the Fujitsu K computer that went into Riken. And that started the middle of the year when it got to 8 petaflops, and then they built the rest of it. Now it's at 10 petaflops, which is so far and above all the other systems on that list that it stood out literally and figuratively. So that was my pick.
Yeah, and the reader's choice was the Bull Terra 100 at CEA, or CEA, which is the French Atomic Energy Agency, and is the Europe's first petascale computer. So that was a big win for Bull. We were talking about that next tier of vendors down. Bull has been making some interesting moves, good new architecture launched prior to the show, and a good choice from the readers.
Yeah, excellent choice from the readers. Yeah, that's the first petascale computer, like you said, in Europe, and there's going to be a lot more of them coming. You know, there's Curie and there's a bunch of others as Price sort of builds up its infrastructure, and Bull's going to be right in the middle of that. So that's a good position right now, and that's a very interesting computer there for the Atomic Energy Agency there.
Yeah, you want my analyst choice?
Sure. What would your choice be?
You nailed it, partner. You got to go with the K computer. You're going top 500, number one, top 500 back to back, built with Spark, coming back after the natural disasters in Japan to deliver that when other vendors have been walking away from it. That's just such a great story coming out of Riken and Fujitsu. I think that is absolutely the top supercomputing achievement this year and would be in just about any year.
I think so, too. And it'll be interesting to see the application work that comes out of that computer as well. So looking forward to that. I think there's going to be international applications being able to be hosted on that. And we're going to get some interesting results, I think.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. So it was a great supercomputing conference all around. I hope you had safe travels home and are going to get to take a little bit of time off with the Thanksgiving holiday this week.
Just a little bit, and then back to it. But, yeah, it was an interesting conference, and it kind of is winding down now for the supercomputing year. But still a little bit left, and we're going to be there till the bitter end.
Oh, I've got a busy December out in front of me. I don't think anything's going to stop at all. So I'll try to take enough time off to cram my face with turkey tomorrow and maybe watch a football game. But I'm sure we'll be back at it next week.
That sounds like a good plan. All right, Addison, until then, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Michael. Talk to you next week.
All right.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.